Welcome to Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm host A.
And I'm host B.
We are looking at a major shift in how developers are running autonomous agents today. Meta just released a 30 billion parameter model you can actually fit on a consumer machine.
And on the other side of that equation, Docker is trying to figure out how to stop those local agents from accidentally destroying your file system.
Giving an AI terminal access is inherently dangerous. We will talk through how Docker is solving the isolation problem using micro VMs, plus a massive data exposure from an AI meeting platform.
Meta Superintelligence Labs published Muse Glimmer on August 10th. It is a 30 billion parameter open weight model, and they optimized it specifically for always-on local agent workflows.
They put the weights on Hugging Face under a permissive Apache 2.0 license. We see a lot of open weights, but this release is targeted directly at consumer hardware.
Which is a difficult engineering problem. A 30 billion parameter model in full precision requires over 55 gigabytes of memory. You cannot run that on a standard laptop. And even a high-end desktop GPU like an RTX 4090 only has 24 gigabytes of VRAM.
Right. So Meta compressed it down to roughly 4-bit quantization. That shrinks the memory footprint enough to actually fit on a Mac or a PC with a single GPU.
Quantization usually degrades the reasoning capability. If you are running an autonomous agent, reasoning is the one thing you cannot afford to lose. To counter that performance drop, they built in a D-Flash-based speculative decoding drafter.
Speculative decoding does a lot of the heavy lifting here. The smaller drafter model guesses the next several tokens rapidly, and the main 30 billion parameter model just verifies them in parallel. It maintains the generation speed without needing a big memory bandwidth pipeline.
The base architecture is distilled from Muse Spark, and they included a dedicated perception encoder.
That encoder handles interleaved text and images. If you have a local agent navigating a web browser or analyzing a PDF, it needs to process visual screenshots right alongside the text DOM. You cannot rely on text-only inputs for agentic tasks anymore.
Meta says the model supports multi-step reasoning, tool use, and failure recovery. That last one is the real test.
Failure recovery is exactly where local models usually fall apart. If a Python script fails, the agent has to read the error log, understand what broke, rewrite the code, and try again. A quantized model often loses context by the third attempt.
The context window fills up with error traces, and the agent just starts looping the exact same bad fix. We will have to see how Muse Glimmer handles a deep error stack in practice.
But pushing this out as an Apache 2.0 release is a strategic move against the closed lab ecosystem. Meta wants developers building local-first autonomous agents on their architecture rather than paying for API calls to a frontier model. It completely changes the privacy equation. If the agent runs entirely on your local machine, you don't have to worry about sending proprietary code or internal company documents out to a third-party server. You get full data sovereignty. But as we are about to discuss, running an autonomous agent locally introduces a different set of security risks.
Letting an AI agent execute code on your machine is dangerous. Developers are increasingly running tools like Claude Code or GitHub Copilot CLI in permissive modes.
They call it YOLO mode. You just give the agent permission to edit files, install packages, and build containers without asking for human confirmation every single step.
Security researcher Johan Rehberger demonstrated why that is a terrible idea. He showed a prompt injection exploit targeting an autonomous coding agent.
The attack vector is simple. You clone an open source repository. The agent reads the README file to understand the project structure. But the README contains a hidden prompt injection.
The hidden text tells the agent to download a malicious binary and execute it. Because the agent is running unattended, it just runs the curl command. It can expose host credentials or destroy local data.
Docker is trying to fix this by isolating the execution environment. They just launched Docker sandboxes.
These are not standard Docker containers. A standard container shares the host operating system's kernel. If an agent finds a container escape vulnerability, it is out and into your machine.
Sandboxes use micro VMs. Each sandbox gets its own kernel, a completely separate file system, an isolated Docker daemon, and its own network stack.
You access it through a dedicated command line interface using the SBX binary. It natively supports the major coding agents, including Claude Code, Gemini CLI, Codex, OpenCode, and Kiro.
The MicroVM approach walls off the host operating system. The agent can compile code, crash the guest kernel, or download malware, and you just throw the sandbox away when the session ends.
The question is whether developers will adopt Docker's local MicroVMs or shift to specialized cloud infrastructure. There are already platforms like E2B, Firecrawl, and Modal providing remote agent sandboxes.
And open source tools like NanoClaw and SmallVM are competing in the same space.
Cloud sandboxes take the compute load off your machine entirely. If you are already using a cloud-hosted agent, sending the execution to a cloud sandbox makes sense.
But if you're running a local model like Muse Glimmer, you probably want local execution. Docker sandboxes fits into that offline workflow perfectly.
It does add friction. Wrapping your workflow in the SBX binary means the agent does not have native access to your local development environment unless you explicitly mount it.
Which defeats the purpose of the sandbox if you just mount your entire home directory. You have to be precise about what the agent can see.
All right, let's hit a few more stories real quick.
Let's run through them.
AI meeting platform TL.dv left 181,874 meeting records exposed to the public.
Independent security researcher Bob DeHacker found the vulnerability. It was a missing Firestore security rule and zero tenant isolation.
The exposed data included meeting creator emails, timestamps, and conference IDs that allowed uninvited access to live calls. It affected over 84,000 users across 35,000 domains, including government domains from 23 countries.
He reported this to the company on January 28th. He got no response from the CTO, so 6 months later, he published the finding.
Joelle Margolis, a security engineer and veteran bug bounty hunter, published a post asking what happened to HackerOne. The platform rolled out an AI system named Hi to handle the initial classification, deduplication, and validation of incoming security reports. The problem is Hi is dismissing valid security findings. Margolis detailed how the automated triage is alienating top-tier ethical hackers who lose payouts to incorrect AI judgments. HackerOne co-founder Mikhail Prince put out a public statement addressing the community backlash. It is a clear clash between platform automation and human researchers.
The Tactical Data Mesh Framework, PEAT, has a new issue open for authenticated, durable, targeted application delivery.
PEAT coordinates edge devices across disconnected networks. This issue asks for a consumer-neutral delivery manager with explicit audiences and retry logic.
They want honest, authenticated recipient evidence. Proving a node received a message in a zero-trust, disconnected mesh is a difficult cryptographic problem.
They are trying to implement atomic application materialization before the node sends an acknowledgement, without relying on any gateway enrollment code.
That is all for today's briefing.
We will be back tomorrow with more updates.